Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August the 1st. You know, I was always under the impression that as we, as a population, learned more about health and nutrition, that we were getting taller. I guess I took that from my own family. I'm the youngest in a very big family of relative shrimps, and I'm by far the tallest female in the family, and at 5'8", just barely shorter than the older boys in my family. We thought this was because Mom fed me better. And I thought this was the trend in other families, that Americans were getting taller as we learned more about proper nutrition. But I guess I was wrong. The opposite is actually true, according to our guest this hour, who has learned Americans reached a height plateau just after World War II. And since then, we have apparently been gradually falling behind the rest of the world in terms of height. The rest of the world is growing taller, and Americans are becoming shorter. Why would a country that used to be the tallest in the world be getting shorter? Why is this happening, and why is it important? Is it significant beyond boasting rights? Well, we will talk about it, and we will welcome your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is John Komlos. He is a professor of economics and economic history at the University of Munich. He is co-author of the article Underperformance in Affluence: The Remarkable Relative Decline in U.S. Heights in the Second Half of the 20th Century, which was published in the June 2007 issue of Social Science Quarterly. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Nice to be here.
Yes, thanks a lot for being with us. Now, how short are we as Americans, as a population right now?
Well, the major thing to emphasize is that Americans have been the tallest in the world for about 200 years. This is not well known. But ever since colonial times, Americans have had an incredibly good diet relative to their European cousins. And as a consequence, we have been the tallest in the world since about till the Second World War. So the development thereafter has to be put in this perspective, and wouldn't be so surprising if that hadn't been the case. But what is happening now is that Americans are about 2.5 inches shorter than, let's say, the Dutch, who are now the tallest in the world. And that's quite a surprise.
Yeah, it was. It was very surprising to me. So why would the Dutch be the tallest in the world and Americans shrinking by 2.5 inches?
Well, one has to take into consideration that the economy influences biological growth processes. This is something that we did not know earlier to the same extent. And it is the case that the Dutch treat their children considerably better than we do. In fact, there's been a UNESCO study recently that rates countries on the way they treat their children. And the Dutch come up on top, and the Americans are pretty well down the line. I don't remember exactly what number it was, but it was in the two-digit figures.
Yeah, that's surprising too. Why would the Dutch be feeding their children so much better than we are?
Well, it's not only feeding; it's medical care, it's schooling, it's the whole gamut of how the society treats its children. And one has to think about it a bit. But what is the American ideal? I ask a rhetorical question. The American ideal is not that the society should treat the children well. I think the way the ideology works is that the individual family should treat the children the way they feel like it, or the way they the best they can, given their income. And there are many people in this country who cannot afford to treat their children as well as one would like. You can't make doctor's appointments. They don't have health insurance. The family may be unemployed, and so on and so forth. So the ideology is not one that says we got to treat our the next generation is our wealth, and we have to treat it accordingly.
We're going to check our weather forecast, and then I hope you also will have questions for our guest, John Kolmlos, professor of economics and economic history at the University of Munich, who has researched the height of Americans and compared it to the rest of the world, found out that America used to be the tallest country in the world, but we have lost that distinction, and we are shrinking. We're talking about why this is, and we'll talk about why this is significant after we check the weather. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you along on this first day of August. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. Coming up this afternoon, Ben Marins is with you between 4 and 6 for At Issue with Ben Marins, where he will talk about current issues of the day. We are talking about some fascinating research dealing with our height. Americans used to be the tallest people in the world, but not anymore. And our guest says poor diet and uneven health care may be what's behind our shrinking stature. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And lots of callers for our guest. And let me go right to our first one, who has what my next question was going to be. Hi, Ron. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wondered where you get your figures on the height of Americans and if the reason for the reduction is because of increased number of short-statured Asians coming immigrants.
Maybe you can tell us, Professor Kolmlos, where what you looked at for this.
This is a good question. Mm-hmm. I failed to mention that I have taken the immigrants out of the sample. These are the only people who are in the sample who were born in America and who declare themselves blacks and or whites, so that people who declare themselves Hispanics and Asians are not part of the study.
Yeah, and why did you do that? Because of that very question?
Well, because of that very question, yeah. Because there are likely to be many more immigrants among Hispanics and other ethnic groups. And in addition, I wanted to compare the results to the Civil War soldiers in the middle of the 19th century to see how they compared, and there were not many Hispanics and Asians in that sample. So I wanted to get long-range growth patterns. So no, immigrants are not part of the sample. Now, the data for this come from the National Center for Health Statistics, which is a part of the Center for Disease Control. They used to do decadal samples of the American population, and I put all of those together from about 1959 to 2004. So we have about 26,000 observations, and this is the first time this has been done.
Yeah. Does it really matter to us, Professor Kolmlos, that we've stopped growing as a population and maybe even are shrinking a little bit, and that the Dutch are taller than we are? Why does that matter?
Well, it matters because this is an indication that our children and our youth are not doing biologically as well as they could. And in addition, there are a lot of other evidence that we're not doing as well biologically as we should. We don't live as long. Our infant mortality rate is very high compared to Western European and Scandinavian countries. So this evidence is a part of the whole package that sort of indicates that we could be doing better as a society if we set our minds to it.
Yeah. Mark in Rockton is with us now. Hi, Mark. You're
good
on
morning.
The air.
Thank you. I think this is fascinating. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you could describe a little bit the variation in diets. And we know there's been some research, other research in the last few years that's indicated that over the last 70 years, due to the industrialization of our agriculture, that nutrients in our food have dropped tremendously. I believe Holland is one of the European countries that has about a three times or more greater adoption rate of organic farming and food consumption than the United States, and organic food has been shown to have much higher nutrient levels, higher antioxidants, and a bunch of other nutritional benefits. At the same time, I would guess, and I haven't seen statistics on this, that the percentage of our diet from processed foods that even further deteriorates nutritional value. And if you're prenatal or in gestation, if your diet it consists of Big Macs and Coca-Colas, and if when you're breastfeeding or, unfortunately, in this country, not breastfeeding, I'm wondering if you've had breastfeeding as a variable factor in here, those are the impacts that I'm guessing might be in play, and I'm curious how you've looked at that in the study.
Yes, all these issues are part of it. I have not looked at the diet very carefully, just and looked at rough indicators like how many times people eat outside of the home, because meals outside of the home are not as nutritious as meals consumed within the home, and this has risen extremely rapidly. From we've spent about 25% of our food budget on meals outside of the home in the middle of the 20th century, and now it stands about 40%. So this is just one indicator. Another indicator is the fact that our obesity rates are extremely high. They're much above European levels, indicating that we are not eating right. So I can't give you exact figures on this, but all of this adds together in indicating that our diet needs to be improved in a substantial way.
Yeah, did you?
And of course, all the food additives. Mm-hmm. We can't even count all the food additives. I think those are very harmful.
Did you just compare the Americans, the blacks and Caucasians, with Europeans, or did you look at all other countries too in the world?
Well, I didn't look at all other countries, but Americans are taller than, let's say, most Latin American countries or Asian countries or Southern European countries. In other words, we are not doing incredibly poorly. It is only that we're not doing as well as we could, given our resources available to us, and given the given our relative income level, we would expect to have retained our position of being number one in the world.
Yeah, but is there? But across the board in Europe, all European countries are doing better along these lines. Not just the Dutch than America.
No. I'll give you some countries here who are, especially among females. The American females are about 14th down the line. All the Scandinavian countries, Western European countries, but also Central European countries like Austria and Czechoslovakia are taller, Germany, and so forth, even Switzerland. Spanish women are now, about half an inch taller.
Hmm.
So It's yep. kind of interesting.
It is.
It's not all countries, though. I wouldn't emphasize that it pertains to all countries.
Sean in Strum is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I guess my question was kind of asked, is the people are better off, and it was answered from a biological standpoint, but I was wondering if financially they're better off or they're just a happier.
Yeah, what is it? I mean, is this bode well for the economies of, mm-hmm. of these countries that are taller?
Well, one of the things that I'm arguing is there are different ways of looking at well-being or different ways of looking at living standards. And if you just look at purchasing power, the amount of income earned and spent, Americans are doing better than Europeans. They're wealthy. Americans are wealthier, in other words. They earn higher income. But if you look at biological indicators, it means that they're not translating that income into biological well-being. And that means that there are different dimensions to living standards, and one should not focus on income alone, but one should look at other indicators like longevity, infant mortality. In addition, income pertains to those people, obviously, who earn an income. Children and youth and infants do not earn an income. They're dependable. They're dependent. So that income doesn't mean anything for children as such. It's a question of how much of that income is translated into their well-being, and that's not all that clear, and that is why it's interesting to look at an indicator which pertains to children and youth.
Yeah. Does that answer your question, Sean?
Yeah, so then I guess for the Dutch adults, they're higher earners than Americans?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
You said that the Europeans aren't necessarily higher earners than
no.
the Americans, though.
No, not on paper. No.
Yeah. But that you can't, we're not measuring the income of the children, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the income doesn't pertain to the children. In addition, you have to take into consideration that Americans are spending a much more percentage of their GNP on health services. It's about 15% now, whereas Europeans are spending closer to a half of that. So that means that the health system is more efficiently organized, you see.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about the health systems in the U.S. and Europe to see how that might play into these statistics. Talking about the shrinking height of Americans, we used to be the tallest people in the world, but not anymore. And our guest believes that poor diet and uneven health care may be what's behind the data. He is John Komlos, professor of economics and economic history at the University of Munich. And we'll continue talking to him after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Wednesday, August the 1st. Very happy to have you along. Hope you join in our discussion about our height. Here's a recent Associated Press article on our guest's research. America used to be the tallest country in the world from the days of the founding fathers right through the Industrial Revolution and two world wars. Americans literally towered over other nations. In a land of boundless open spaces and limitless natural abundance, the young nation transformed its increasing wealth into human growth. But just as it has in so many other arenas, America's predominance in height has faded. Americans reached a height plateau after World War II, gradually falling behind the rest of the world as it continued growing taller. By the time the baby boomers reached adulthood in the 1960s, most northern and western European countries had caught up with and surpassed the United States. Young adults in Japan and other prosperous Asian countries now stand nearly as tall as Americans do. Even residents of the former communist East Germany are taller than Americans today. In Holland, the tallest country in the world, the typical man now measures 6 feet, a good 2 inches more than his average American counterpart. We're talking about why this is and why it's significant, and welcoming your questions for our guest, the researcher who published this study. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your questions about this. And Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Our guest is John Komlos, professor of economics and economic history at the University of Munich, co-author of the article, Underperformance in Affluence, The Remarkable Relative Decline in U.S. Heights in the Second Half of the 20th Century. This was published in the June issue of Social Science Quarterly. Our next caller is Paul in La Crosse. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, my question is related to the individual United States itself. Was there any differences among the states? There's all kinds of studies that we have concerning various performance factors by state, and I was wondering how height related.
Are there differences among the states in the United States, Professor Komlos?
There are, but these differences are not that easy to ascertain because the Center for Disease Control does not release geographic information on account of anonymity issues, so that we have not been able to study this very carefully. We have another study, however, which is based on another sample that shows that people who live in cities are, generally speaking, not as tall as people who live in suburbs or small towns.
And you're attributing this to maybe more poverty in the cities as opposed to suburbs.
Yes.
And smaller towns.
More poverty and pollution, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, if we are wealthier, we have higher incomes than the rest of these taller
countries.
People. Yeah. How does that jive?
Well, the problem is that we are not spending our money as wisely as we should. One example of that is the healthcare system. We're paying a much higher percentage of our income for healthcare and not getting as much for it, insofar as we're not living as long as many of those other countries. In addition, we don't have a large part of our population does not have health insurance, whereas in many Western European or Northern European countries, 100% of the population is insured. So
you believe that they are getting better health coverage, better prenatal care, better care throughout life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. In addition, income is not as evenly distributed in America. That's another issue that the income distribution has to be taken into account, because if some people are very wealthy, brings up the average. So comparing the average income across countries is not such an accurate indicator of well-being, because it doesn't take into consideration poverty.
Yeah,
and
so
many more, a greater percentage of the American population is considered poorer than in Western Europe. So the average doesn't tell us the whole story.
Mm-hmm. You would then, though there is no hard data that is easily accessible for you, you would suspect that if states in the United States had a higher poverty level than another state, that that the residents of that state might be shorter.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Bruce and Racine, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm not too sure that this is a valid study. You see, my family's Dutch, and all of the women now born in America are 5'11 or taller. All the men are 6'4 or taller. My wife is Mexican, and my children are all half and half. Now, those are all shorter, although they're taller than Mexicans. They're, you know, my son is 5'9", and my daughter is 5'7". But, I mean, in all of the Dutch side, like, we went over to Holland, Michigan, and you know, we are giants compared to everybody else. I mean, we walk, you see us walking, and every one of us that are Dutch, especially the Fries, I mean, we are huge. You know, we're twice the size, twice the weight, and skinny.
So
the
one
thing about us is we eat a lot of fish, much more than the regular American diet. That's probably the only difference, because we are pure Americans, you know, several generations. But, I mean, we have tended to marry our own kind for a long time, and that's what it is. We're just genetically bigger people. We always have been, and we always will be, you know, until we marry somebody else like I did. I married Mexican. I have smaller people, you know, smaller children.
But that doesn't explain why the Dutch were shorter than Americans, though, before or World War II, Bruce.
I don't think they were. The Dutch, when my people came over here, we still towered over everybody else.
Yeah. All right. Just about genes, Professor Komlos.
Well, we have data of Dutch soldiers going back into the 19th century, and we know that the Dutch at the time of the American Civil War were about 2.5-3 inches shorter than Americans. So that is something to take into consideration. I don't think that the Dutch are genetically inclined to be the tallest in the world, since they were among the shortest Europeans in the middle of the 19th century. But genetics on an individual level certainly does play a role. And I'm looking at a population where such genetic differences are likely to wash out.
Yeah. Anything else, Bruce?
Well, I think probably when you say Dutch, you talk about a whole area. You know, there's different areas of Holland that are, you know, there are a lot of the coastal Norwegians, which are smaller people. But if you go in the Frisian area of Holland, they always were giants. I mean, they were the ones that Napoleon never liked, because they stood so much higher than he was. You know, I mean, they're just tall. I'm not trying to be, you know, elitist or anything, but we're just huge people. We always have been. I mean, back generations and generations. There's just, you know, maybe the guys that came over during the Civil War were the coastal, you know, some of the coastal areas of Dutch. But it's just, well, I mean, there are Dutch, yep. In Holland, there are many areas where they're just giants.
We get you. How tall are you, Bruce?
Well, 6'4".
Yeah. Yeah. But you're saying, if you look back at that Civil War data, that's that they weren't giants then, Professor Komlos.
No, I didn't find any evidence of that, to be honest. So I cannot respond to that too well.
Yeah. Are there, I mean, I'm thinking a little bit along the same lines as Bruce is. I'm thinking of, I always thought of, for instance, Italians. My father is Italian, as being rather short in stature. He maybe
yeah.
was 5'10", maybe. I think he was shorter
right.
than that.
Right.
And then my mother, she was barely she wasn't even 5 feet.
Right.
She was German.
Right.
And you think, I mean, that there are certain countries that seem, even European countries, that tended to have shorter people or taller people. Is that true?
Well, southern Italians, for example, tended to be shorter than average. That is the case. But if you look at today, Italian women are taller than American females of the same age, let's say at the age of 20 to 25. So they've managed to catch up.
Yeah, interesting, because I used to feel like the giant around my aunts because they were, you know, I'm 5'8", and they were 5 feet.
Yeah. if you look at those Europeans, particularly who were born during the Great Depression of the 1930s, you know, they tended to be very short.
We're talking with John Kolmlos, professor of economics and economic history at the University of Munich, talking about his research into our height and how America used to be the tallest country in the world, but we're not anymore. And we're talking about why that is and why that matters. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock, coming up after 8. It's a new month, so it's time for a new open line, my August open line, for your suggestions on programs you'd like to hear and feedback on this program. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with John Kolmlos, who is a professor of economics and economic history at the University of Munich. He is the co-author of the article Underperformance in Affluence, the Remarkable Relative Decline in U.S. Heights in the Second Half of the 20th Century, which is published in the June 2007 issue of Social Science Quarterly, in which we find out that Americans used to be the tallest people in the world, but not anymore. The Dutch are good 2.5 inches taller than Americans. We're wondering why that is, why Americans have stopped growing and European countries are surpassing us in terms of height, and why this all matters. Our guest says that poor diet and uneven health care may be what's behind the data. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And our next caller is Mike in Racine. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I guess I'm a little bit concerned with the last caller and the professor's response to him. Well, I understand the hypothesis, and I think it appears there'd be evidence for supporting the hypothesis that economics and healthcare and food and so forth have an influence. But I think that we're at the point when we're looking at a population scale that I'm not sure that you're able to take out of account the genetics on a population scale, because you're only now getting to the point where you're getting parity economically, nutritionally, healthcare-wise, so that you are going to be able to now start to resolve these issues. So I think the idea that this supposition that perhaps some of the Scandinavians or the Dutch or whoever may have, for height anyway, may have a disposition genetically towards being taller, you're only now going to start to, in the last few decades, start to be able to resolve that. The historical data that he's been interpreting, if it has been confounded with nutritional and economic problems, you really can't use that as a scale against making a genetic statement. You can only make it on a statement on economics. And I think the professor is trying to suggest that there's something more there, and I just really don't think he can make that claim. The only thing he can really make a claim on is on things he can get data for, which is economic data as well as height data.
Yeah. Do you have a response, Professor Kolmlos?
Well, genetics is a complicated issue. We're not going to be able to get data on that for a long time, and you can make a claim that it is perhaps making a difference, but when there are easier interpretations, and we know that the diet isn't conducive to optimal growth, we know that people are getting obese, and obese people cannot grow as tall as normal weight people. And when we know that the healthcare system isn't perfect, and we know that income inequality is getting to be greater in the United States, when we know all of these facts, when we know that people are living in slums and so on and so forth, that these slums do not exist in most parts of Western and Northern Europe, et cetera, mm-hmm. then why take on a mysterious explanation like genetics? So clearly, you cannot rule it out. I'm not arguing that you can rule it out because the work hasn't been done on it. It just doesn't seem that plausible to me, given all these factors that we know do affect height, and we know that the Americans are not doing as well as they should be.
Yeah.
So genetics may be an additional interpretation, but there are many other ones that are nearer at hand, to my mind.
Next, we go to Don in Madison. Hi, Don.
Good morning, Ms. Cardine. Good morning to your guests. I've heard that there's been a historical survey of human height, perhaps extending back 300 years, and there is a variation. Sometimes people are tall and sometimes not so. Are there some eras that seem to have been especially fortunate for humans based on this measure?
You mean geographic areas?
No, eras, I think.
Oh, eras.
Time. Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, we have not known previously that there were cycles in height. And as the economy was expanding, business cycles affected the height of the population. Now, the worst time that we know of was in the 17th century when there was a little ice age and Europeans were doing very, very poorly. Then things got a little better, and then heights declined again during the Industrial Revolution because people didn't get as much food to eat. And then for a long time, there was in Europe a stagnation. And at this time, Americans were about 2-3 inches taller than Europeans. Even the slaves were taller than the Europeans. Which is amazing. It just goes to show you how poorly the European peasants were fed. But then around 1870 or so, things began to improve, and there was a positive trend for about 130 years, interrupted by wars and interrupted by the Great Depression. But it was mostly upward. So, yes, there were cycles, there were periods that were doing worse and periods that were doing better. During the French Revolution, for example, the French men were about 163 centimeters, which would make them about 5'4". So they were very short at the time.
Thank you, Don, for the call. Bill in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I have a couple of maybe outlandish ideas, but you consider the in our food today, there is a huge amount of growth hormone that is force-fed to cattle, chicken, and so forth in this country. And what we may be doing is forcing the onset of growth cycles in children such that during the normal critical periods are sped up in this country and then they shut down more quickly. And then the other thing is after the Second World War, America became such an industrial giant and that we started producing a large number of products from plastic. And during the 50s, people were exposed to a great deal of plastic, which gives off estrogen-like compounds in the environment. And I'm just wondering if we have an earlier onset of puberty in girls today, and, if you consider that estrogen-like compounds may suppress testosterone in males, I'm just wondering what effect all of this has on our lives and our height.
Well, I'm afraid I have not studied plastics and their effects on growth, but it is true that children who develop faster and reach puberty faster tend to peak out earlier, so to speak, and become shorter adults. I've ascribed this to the diet. I'm not sure what aspect of the diet But if you look at, if you compare the Dutch and the Americans, for example, at age 10 or at age 11, American females are only about half an inch shorter than the Dutch. But that means that they reach their adolescent growth spurt earlier and sort of peak out earlier, whereas the Dutch just continue to grow and end up to be two and a half inches taller. So this is something that we do need to consider, namely that what the diet, what one eats, and particularly overeats during childhood makes a big difference. And this is something that parents should keep in mind, but also I think we need more government intervention in making sure that some of these food additives do not reach our tables.
Very interesting. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
John Komlos, professor of economics and economic history at the University of Munich. Thanks to Keisha Mabra for producing the hour and to Christina Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.